Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today.
Are you looking for a nutritional supplement to help with your day-to-day vision needs? Look no further than MacuHealth. Recommended by doctors worldwide, MacuHealth offers a full line of products designed to support your vision and eye health. Available through eye care professionals on Amazon.com and directly on our website at MacuHealth.com. And here's the best part. Use the code OME24 when ordering direct from MacuHealth for special discounts. MacuHealth, nutrition you can see.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. April Jasper Show. And as you can see, it is holiday season. So we have an awesome background. I love it. And I love that it says creative because that's what we are and what we do, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
We try. That's why we have Caleb to help us.
Yeah, we have people.
Exactly. Not sure I'd ever be described as that, but I do have dreams.
Yeah.
And speaking of those, you guys know we started out the year talking about our goals for 2024. And the year is coming to a close.
Wow, yeah.
And so, first of all, let us say thank you so much to all of you. Thank you to our sponsors, MacuHealth and CooperVision and Ocusoft. We appreciate that. Yeah. And we want you to know how much it means to us that you're a part of this journey with us. Mm-hmm. But thanks to our listeners, because really that's what makes this something.
Yeah.
And we hope we bring you value, and we want to continue the conversation on topics that you appreciate and want to hear about.
Yeah.
So the goal is always to be inspiring and educational. So we talked about early on our goals. What was your goal for 2024, Dave? One of them.
I think one, the main one was to get through an Ironman.
And we talked about mine was writing the book.
Yeah.
So hopefully you all have purchased your copy and are enjoying it. We have a lot of surprises coming for you this year in regards to the book and things that we're going to do to help you down that journey of creating your business of distinction.
Yeah. 2025 is going to be a big year.
It is. We're excited.
It's going to be a big year.
Yeah. We're excited because we try to adapt and come up with new things that are helpful to you.
Right.
And believe it or not, you guys have helped us so much to be better people. And to do things that we know we need to have done. Mm-hmm. So back to David, your 2024 goal was to complete an Ironman, which why don't you start by telling people what that is? What is an Ironman?
Well, a full Ironman is 140.6 miles. It's a 2.4 mile open water swim typically. Sometimes they'll do it in lakes, but it's a 2.4 mile swim. You start the morning at about 6:45 a.m. It's usually still just dawn or dark. And then you transition right into a bike ride. The bike ride's 112 miles. And then you come back to the transition area and you put your running gear on and you go for a marathon run, 26.2 mile run.
All in one day.
Back to back.
How many hours does a person have to get it done? So if you were the slowest one and you came in just a minute before the end, how much time do you have?
Typically the time limit is 17 hours. So you start at 6:45 a.m. or 7 a.m. because the line's long. I think there was almost 2,000 people in the one I did. So if you're starting at 7 a.m., you have until midnight. Midnight is the cut. And if you come in at 12:05, you're not an Ironman.
Oh, man.
And there were a lot of people that didn't make it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so tell us about the swim again. So where was yours? That you did a half. So tell everybody. They kind of heard about that at some point, but...
Yeah, so I did the half back in May, which was up in Chattanooga. It was interesting. It was the swimming in a river, which was good for the downstream part of it, but I got...
You were sick afterwards.
I think I got a little too much water in my mouth during that swim, and I was almost 2 weeks afterwards. I was coughing and really sick. So anyways, this was the half was in Chattanooga, which is exactly half the distance of the full. And then I got the full Ironman done in November, November 2nd.
Right before
Saturday.
Your birthday.
Yeah. Panama City, Florida. Yeah. It was right before my birthday, which, and the election day. So it was a crazy pre-election weekend and all that stuff. So it was good. It was in Panama City, Florida. So it was an open water swim. We swam at the beach, off the beach. We swam out about half mile out, I guess, and then 0.2 miles to the west and then the half mile back in to that. And we did that twice, two laps.
Yeah. So basically you went out on one side of the pier.
Yep.
All and the way then out. Over and back down the other side of the pier.
Correct.
Got out onto the beach, ran back to where you started and did it again.
Yeah. So it was a little unique in that regard because you didn't just stay constantly for 2.4 miles, which...
Like you did when you were in the river in Chattanooga.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, I guess it was good to have the breather, but at the same time, that was my first Ironman, so I didn't really know what to expect.
So by breather, tell people what you mean. You mean you got out and you weren't just breathing like this.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously when you're... It's completely different. So you go train in a pool or you train in, like, I have the chance to train with my friends over here in the Intracoastal. So we can do some 1,000 or 2,000 yard distances straight without stopping. But when you're in a pool, you can cheat. You can, you know, you turn at the ends and you have a chance to breathe. So
Pop your head up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can take two breaths on a turn if you want to. Whereas when you're just swimming straight, you can't just... It's either every stroke or it's every other stroke or whatever you're going to do. You have to get in that rhythm and you have to get your, and when it's race time, it's stressful because you get in the, your heart rate's already up just from being in line with 2000 people. And like, this is going to starting a 15-hour day possibly. So you're just stressed out. So I didn't really know what was going to happen with the swim. So it was definitely interesting.
So you didn't mind having that moment to come out of the water and walk and get a few decent breaths in before you went and did it again.
Yeah, and it was nice because they had a lot of water there. So we literally walked, you know, you can walk or you could run that little, you know, what was it, 25 yards? It's about 25 yards underneath the pier. And you just kind of rinse your mouth out because your mouth is just full of salt. So salt water.
And you weren't really in a race for time other than you just wanted to make sure you finished.
Yeah, yeah. So the swim does have a cutoff. I think if you don't finish the swim in 2 hours, and I think it was 2 hours and 20 or 2 hours and 30 minutes, then you're automatically out. There's no, because they know if you don't get the swim done in that amount of time, you're probably not going to get the bike and you're probably not going to get the run. So they kick you out.
Why does the swim come first?
Well, they don't want you to drown.
Because you're tired at the end.
They want you fresh. Yeah. I think they've, over the history of it, you can probably look back, they've done it in different orders, but I think they've settled on the swim, bike, run.
For a reason.
Yeah, for a good reason. They don't want you tired on the bike. There's been stories of people literally falling asleep on the bike.
Wow.
Like, and riding off the road. So they don't want you doing that either.
Into traffic. Yeah. There's cars. It's not like they shut down the roads completely.
No.
You guys had cars buzzing by you all day long.
Yeah.
But even on the run, cars were going by you.
Yeah, they were close. Yeah. So the run was pretty cool though, because it was just on the, well, anyways, back to the swim.
So you got
through the first lap.
Did you know the swim was going to be the hardest part for you?
Yeah, because I didn't have any idea as far as what the actual time might be. I had no idea how I was going to react for the full time and then be able to finish it underneath the time. Cause I just don't know when you get into the, you're getting kicked, you're getting smacked. I mean, it's just
one guy came out and he was scratched all down the side of his face.
And that could just be from one person. Just, you know, he's doing a stroke next to you and you don't realize
somebody
can't really see very
you.
Clearly. Yeah. So you're just like, you're hitting, people are right there next to you. And then also, you know, somebody will put their hand right in next to your face. Right when you just happen to turn your head to take a breath,
literally,
and they smack the water right into your mouth. So you just literally inhale a thing. So you better be able to hold your breath without having a breath for that another whole stroke. So then you have to flip to the other side. So it's just, that's just part of, you can't do that in training.
So before we leave the swim, David, tell everybody, we got there 2 days early so that you could acclimate and we could settle in.
We got there on Wednesday.
And know what we were doing, and you could look around and see what the ride was going to be like. What was the water like 2 days before?
I think the previous 5 days, the water was super rough. We had seas of like 5 to 8. So the beach was just a murky mess. There was no visibility. So I was pretty stressed about that. And they were talking like they were going to do it regardless, even if it was that rough.
Yeah.
But it was crazy. Like, I mean, I was praying like every night, just please let the calm down for the day of the race. And sure enough, it like settled down a little bit on Friday. It came down to like, what, 4 to 5. And then like Friday night, it just dropped.
And I told you the whole time it was going to be fine.
Yeah.
But who's going to listen to me?
And the Surf Report. And they were, even Ironman, they were going off the Surf Report. So they're just like, the Surf Report says Saturday's going to be great. So we're going with the swim. And everybody's like, okay, we're going with the swim. It is going to be what it is.
So we got up at 3:30.
It was incredible.
The morning of the event. And it was still dark outside, but we were right on the beach. So I could see the pier and I could see the water.
Right.
And I remember opening the curtains and I could see it was just calm as could be.
Yeah. There was still a little bit of wave rolling in right at the shore, but the offshore was not the big swells.
Swells would have been tough.
Yeah. Especially when you're trying to spot buoys and stuff, because they literally will go behind the swells. So you're trying to line up.
All right. So transition. Tell people what that is. Transition, you say it. It's a word. But yeah. What does that mean?
It's literally the transition area. So you come out of the second lap on the swim. You run up the beach. You get onto the road.
There's a place to rinse.
Yeah, there's like they have these huge showers, like PVC pipes. You just kind of walk through the showers. You're stripping your wetsuit off. And
so I got to stop you there because I'm always intrigued by words. Words mean something, right? So you come up onto the deck. You're off the beach now, off the sand.
Yeah, you're running up the dune.
And those suits, are they really tight?
The wetsuits?
Yeah.
Yeah, some people, it takes like 15 to 20 minutes to get it on. Before the race, you're like, people are sitting there. I mean, you're working.
Full legs, full arms.
Oh, yeah, it's full wetsuit.
It's cold water.
It's colder water typically, and they have a certain temperature. If it's below a certain temperature, they won't. They'll let you wear it. But if the water temperature.
Underneath it is the outfit that you're going to. I call it an outfit. Yeah. Is that the right word?
Okay. Yeah. Your tri-suit.
Underneath it is your tri-suit.
Yeah.
The suit that you basically have worn all day.
That you'll be wearing
and
most of the day.
So you wore it under that suit. You're going to wear it on the bike and you're going to wear it on the run.
And some people don't. Like if they don't care, they're going to put like a bib and shirt on that for the bike. Because maybe it has more pad for the seat. And then you can put that on. You can change the transition area and put that on if you want to.
So now you're out of the water.
Yep, out of the water.
Running up the beach onto
you
the
flop down
dock.
On the ground, which was kind of fun.
There's volunteers, probably 15 or 20 of them that are all standing there.
They have this huge mat as you're walking up because you're walking up this. It's narrow, you know, it's what, 10 feet, 8 feet wide, and you just got people coming out of the water. You're just streaming up the thing, and then
you're
supposed
to unzip, and the zipper's in the back.
Yeah, so you pull your zipper down, and you're kind of start taking your arms off by yourself, and then you get to an area where there's people just like, they're come over here and lay down, come over here. So you just kind of run over there, and you flop down on this rubber mat, and you fall back on your back, and you lift your legs up, and they just whip the thing right
Happy
off
baby
you.
Style.
Yeah, oh yeah. And they just whip the swimsuit right or the wetsuit right off your legs.
They so technically you don't have strip to, it off your legs. So they're called strippers.
Yeah. So it saves you the effort of having to get down and literally pull this tight neoprene suit off your legs, which just takes time.
It's like someone helping you take off your cowboy boots.
Yeah. Okay.
Or your ski boots.
Ski boots.
Or same idea.
Boots, yes.
For someone who's never done an Ironman. All right. So they take your suit off.
Take your suit off. I'm carrying my suit. You kind of run through the showers. You can rinse off as much sand or whatever as best you can. But then you still have to run. Like we had to run probably 0.2 mile back into what they now call the transition area.
Barefoot.
Yeah. You're barefoot on the ground. So you walk into you grab your bag, your transition one bag, which means you're going to transition from the swim into the bike.
And you packed that the night before?
Yeah, that's all packed and it's in line. You know, like I said, you have 2,000 bags. So you're running in and you don't have anything on you, necessarily your number or anything. So people you're calling out your number, 1550. I was 1550. So I would see the people and I would say 1550 and they have
volunteers.
Somebody run down and grab the bag. And as
and
I'm running
give
by,
it back to you.
They just hand it to me.
And what's in that bag? It's all the stuff you're going to need for nutrition and for like
correct.
Whatever.
Shoes.
Sunscreen, shoes, everything,
yeah, everything
you need for the bike ride.
Socks, bike shoes. I mean, some people don't wear, like the pros, they probably don't wear socks. Some of them do. A lot of them probably do. But it saves them time not having to put a sock on because in the transition area, they're trying to get out of there in a minute or two. It took me 18 minutes.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So I didn't even care. I was like, I'm putting my socks on. I survived the swim.
That isn't going to happen when we do the next round, but we'll tell everybody about
that. It was a little better. But yeah, so you have, so I had
you
2 hours.
Porta potty.
I had 2 hours and 20 minutes to finish the swim.
Yep.
I finished it in an hour and 36 minutes. So I had a lot of time. I knew I had a huge cushion. I was like, okay, you know what? I got through the swim. I'm like, yes, that was going to be the hardest part for me probably, besides the run at the end. But I knew if I could survive the swim, then I'd probably be okay. So I just kind of was like, okay, I got it. We're going to do this. And I'm going to do we're going to just keep on going. So I had to pack all as much food as I could in my tri suit,
right.
Whatever fluids I needed that I could carry on
He's
me.
He's pointing to his back for all of you who can't see
there's
pockets all in these suits and these athletes, women and men. They have stuffed all of these products that they're going to need throughout the day into every pocket they possibly can to make sure that they survive.
Because you're starting a bike ride now. So you're starting a 112-mile bike ride. And it's a little different as an Ironman because there's no drafting allowed. So it's an individual sport. You are by yourself. If you get caught behind somebody because they save you. Yeah, the effort is unbelievably different between pulling in the front or being in second or third place where you can take the air with the wind totally off you.
Yep.
So you have no headwind basically, which can take 25, 30, 40% right. of your effort and eat your energy.
25 yards? What is it supposed to be distance between you?
It's six bike lengths.
Okay.
Basically is what you have to do. And if you go to pass somebody, you have to pass them in 25 seconds.
That's the 25.
Yeah, 25 seconds. You have to pass them in 25 seconds and you have to get past them in 25 seconds.
So you have to be able to prove that you can do this as a person, not with the help of anybody else.
Yeah, on your own. It's an individual sport.
We are thrilled to have CooperVision as a sponsor of our show. CooperVision is a global leader in contact lenses, serving eye care professionals and lens wearers in over 130 countries with the widest range of prescription options. CooperVision can be trusted to have a contact lens that meets your vision, lifestyle, and budget needs. From 1 day to 1 month replacement lenses, there are lenses for most prescriptions in any lifestyle or budget. CooperVision brings us the first and only soft contact lens designed for myopia control and FDA approved to slow the progression of myopia in age-appropriate children. Thank you to CooperVision for living your mission to provide innovative products to help millions of people see better each day. So, David, as you think about the accomplishment of completing the Ironman, you are an Ironman. It wasn't just what you did that day, but it was what you did leading up to it. So talk about that long-term 1 year plan. We announced on the show that you were going to do this.
Yep.
And I put you on the spot. I didn't even prepare him, you guys, that day. I don't most days. I just said, hey,
today, I don't know what we're doing.
Exactly. I just said, hey, what's your goal? And he said it. And then what was that long-term process?
Right. So the half Ironman, we started out with that, right?
Yes.
So I started that. I think that was a 4 month plan that started immediately. Like as soon as we did the talk, I said, Anthony, I'm going to need help. And so he got the plan going. We got that done.
And that was the exercise plan. So what time you get up, what you do every day, you took Sundays and Mondays off.
Correct.
But every day of the week, other than that, you had a pretty significant exercise routine.
Yeah. I mean, some of it's small. So the swims are fairly short. They're an hour ish. Maybe if you get up to 2 hours, but that's the shortest exercise that you do. But then you have the swim and the run, or the bike and the run. So after I got through the half Ironman, then we went right into, okay, I took a break because I was sick for almost 2 weeks.
Right.
Then I kind of got back on the bike and I did the race up in North Carolina with the guys. I did Blood, Sweat and Gears. So that kept my bike going, got my legs back in it, got going. And as soon as that was done, Anthony and I and you implemented the training plan that was almost 6 months to get back to go for the Ironman.
Were you ever discouraged in the middle of it?
Oh yeah. Of what? The training?
Let's talk training first. Okay. Did you have any moments along the way where you're just like, yeah, I don't know about this?
Oh yeah. Those Saturdays were, you remember? The Saturdays I was up on the road by 5 o'clock in the morning and I didn't finish till noon to one most Saturdays.
And then you were pretty much wiped the rest of the day.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'd get home and I couldn't move. So I was like, okay, I didn't eat enough or I didn't fuel enough or I didn't drink enough. And I'm just like, okay, it took me like 2-3 hours to be able to move. Remember?
Right.
I just come home and you were like, Saturday's done. I'm like, yep, Saturday's done.
Okay.
So...
All right, so then short term.
And then we had a trip in there.
True.
We went for, 12 days? Like vacation. Right in the main
And there were lots of trips. I mean, we travel. That's what we do for a living. Yeah. So we were traveling all the time, and you had to find a pool, and you had to find a treadmill. Yeah. You had to find a bike.
Stationary bike in the hotels.
And there were a couple of times you took your bike with you.
Yeah,
so
I did.
You have to be committed.
Yeah, we're going next week, and we'll probably take my bike with me because I'm starting for the next one.
That's right.
So,
all right. So then let's transition to short-term goals and short-term preparation, which to me is the night before.
Yeah.
Even the week before. So we went a couple of days ahead and then the night before, talk about that.
Yeah. So a couple of weeks ahead, you're buying stuff. I'm buying all my nutrition. I'm getting all, make sure my bottles are good to make sure the lights or whatever I'm going to use on my bike or make sure the tires are right. All that stuff is like the couple of weeks before. Making sure the tri-suit's going to fit me right. And I wore that a couple times before just to get some swims in. It just, all those little things count and you don't realize how much training you have to do because you can't just wear a suit for the first time. Or the shoes or socks or any of that because it's going to rub you the wrong way and you're going to be a mess when you're done. So yeah, I had to get shoes that I could break in for 2 months ahead of time and just things like that you don't think about.
And then we get there, and
yep, we get
you,
there.
You checked out the area. You mm-hmm. So you drove the path, and yeah, you saw where you were going to ride.
Yeah, we drove the bike ride because it was 112 miles, so we drove most of it. I think we drove some of it coming in.
Yes.
Probably drove half of it coming in. And then we drove the other half just to look at it.
Did it make you feel better to see it ahead of time?
Yeah, it does.
I kind of thought you might want to swim, but you didn't.
No, I didn't want to. I was like, nope. No, the ocean was so rough that
that's
I'm like,
true.
I'm not going
you didn't
in
want
that
to get
water.
Freaked out.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to go in the water. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to wait because I'm going to save my arms for race day. Because if it's like this on race day, I'm going to need every inch, ounce of energy I've got just to get through that swim.
So then you check in the day before, wasn't it? Or 2 days before?
You checked in a couple of days before.
And they give you all of those bags that you told people about.
Right.
And so at every transition, so you had two transitions.
So we have two transitions.
And then there were two other stops.
Yeah. So you have the bike halfway point that you can bring your special
your personal needs,
personal
I think.
Personal needs items. So like for me, I don't typically drink the stuff on the course. I'll drink the water on the course, but I don't drink their Gatorade or anything like that because it's sometimes my stomach can be sensitive to their stuff.
You have your own products.
So I have my own products. And so you put it in that bag, and at mile 55, I would stop, and I did stop, and I got more goos. I got my gels. I got my cookies or whatever I needed to put in my shirt, in my bike if I needed
apple
to restock. Applesauce. And then
mustard, pickle juice.
Yeah, mustard and pickle juice were pretty important for cramping. And so you reload that at halfway. So that's a personal needs on the bike. Then there's a personal needs on the run too. So you get that halfway through the run.
And so everybody knows they gave him his number stickers. Right. And so every one of those five bags. So basically what we did is we laid them out on the table. And put the sticker on all five bags because that's how he's known as 1550.
Yeah.
And then you load it with whatever you're going to
need
for that entire time.
Right. Or for the rest of that time, obviously.
Right. And so you have to map out where am I going to be at that time?
Right.
How much stuff did I put in my jacket or my outfit?
And can I carry
And how much needs to go in the bag? So that was honestly for me, that was one of the most stressful moments. And your sister
and
was with
knowing.
Us. So Cheryl and Keith were with us and your parents in the house. And it's funny because you and Anthony are working at it at the table and I'm standing there kind of watching, but I know when I don't know what I'm doing. And I was just watching. They're all over there sitting and they're paying attention, but they're doing what I was doing from a distance. And we're all watching and listening. And finally, I just looked at you guys and I just quietly walked away and I go and sit down and Cheryl goes, "Too much for you?" I said, "Yeah, I don't have any idea what they're doing. I just want them to get it right because I know it's everything."
Yeah, and it was everything. So if you don't have that stuff set.
And that's what I wanted to get to next. So I know what Anthony says. I know what he taught us. Because as you're out there on the course and you're doing what you're doing, Cheryl and Keith, your mom and dad and I are sitting there with Anthony. Not sitting, but we're following you all over creation.
Right.
And we're talking to him the whole time saying, what is going to make it? How are we going to know if David's going to make it? And what is the most important thing right now? Mm. And the most important thing, you just said it. He said that's going to be the determining factor as to whether or not you make it was
the nutrition.
Nutrition.
100% nutrition.
And that's all about how we planned it and how you then consumed it.
And how I executed on the different parts. So I knew at mile 55 on the bike, I was pushing too hard and I got my heart rate up too high and the wind was in my face and I just went for like almost an hour and a half of just complete nausea where I just wanted to throw up so bad. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to bring my heart rate back down. I'm going to slow down because I know I've got to, and it's just, you're just overexerting yourself for no reason. And it's just like, you'd calm down. I got my time. I know where I'm at. I know my time's good so far. I know I'm way before the cutoff on the bike. So I brought it down and I got control of it. And that was probably after I saw you guys, I think I saw you around mile 60 and about mile 75, 80, I finally got that under control.
Yeah.
So I finally was like, okay.
He speeds by and I said to you, how are you doing? And I could tell your face didn't look right.
Yeah.
I mean, we've only been married 32 years, so I should know. And I see him as he speeds by and I'm just like, are you okay? And he says, I'm a little nauseous. So we didn't have time for a conversation.
Oh no, it was go.
It was truly just, and he's gone.
Yeah.
So we look at Anthony and said, what do we do now? He says, he's sick. What's going to happen? And he says, well, if he's really that bad, he's going to throw up and then he's going to get back on and he's going to drink and he's going to go. And that's what you do.
Yeah.
But you never did.
No.
You got your heart rate under
control. I got my heart rate under control. I brought it down lower than I was anticipating I needed to because I knew that I still had to run. I still had a marathon to run.
Yeah.
So I brought my heart rate down, got it down as low as I could and just kept on going. And unfortunately, I turned that corner when I met you, and it was into a headwind for about 22 miles.
So do you guys get this? So I love the story because it's exactly life.
It is.
So you have to just keep on going.
Yeah.
You have to be consistent. You have to pursue your dreams. And when you run into a headwind, what do?
You put your head down and you pedal. You put your head down, you get as small as you can, and you just concentrate on what the plan is at the end, and you just keep on pedaling.
And you get your head in the right space.
Yeah, and it was good because if I was passing somebody or if somebody was passing me, one of the most amazing things about Ironman was I'd see somebody that I was passing, I'd be like, keep going. You got it.
Yeah.
And kind of that helped me kind of just, I don't know.
What about the times?
Be part of the game.
Right. You're part of a team. You're all in it together at that point.
And we're all individuals. I'm not trying to beat anybody.
Right.
It's a race. I'm trying to beat midnight.
It's a race against the clock.
Yeah.
So what about, David, you did tell me, and I will share, that there were times people passed you and you're like, what? You can't be going faster than me.
Oh, yeah.
So,
a guy that was 15 years older than me and probably had 50 pounds on me or 60 or 100 pounds on me, passing me on my bike. And I'm like, what is even happening here? I don't even understand this. And the same on the run.
So that's a life lesson, too. So what happens? Do we ever have moments? And social media is the enemy in this sense. Yeah. I think for a lot of people where you see somebody else's life and you think it's better, you think they've got it figured out, and you put yourself in a spot where you're just... And I used a word earlier, jealous, when I was with Allie and we were recording. And jealous to me, I'm not jealous ever and wishing people ill will. Mm. I see people and I admire them for what they have done, and I want to be more like them. That's not really jealous. That's the wrong word.
Right.
But when you see that.
No, that's not jealousy. That's inspiration. For
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
It's 100% inspiration. When I see somebody going by me that's got...
Yep.
That's carrying an extra 40 or 50 pounds on them, and they're
pushing
beating
through.
Me. I'm like, man, that's just absolutely incredible. Yeah. And I want to be as strong as them. How do I get to that point?
That's what we need to do. That's the life lesson. We need to turn those moments of seeing something that we see as better.
Yeah.
And saying, that's amazing. I love that. And if you can do it, I can do it.
Absolutely. 100%.
And that's why we share these stories too, because, And I have to be careful how I say this because I don't want it to make you look worse, but David's not 20.
No,
and
not.
He set a goal a year ago.
Yeah.
And you did it.
Yeah.
And that's incredible. If you can do it, they can do it.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest part, that it doesn't matter your age. You can go out and do this. It's up to you how much time you want to put into
it. Or whatever it is you do.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't because medically, there's no way I'm ever going to do it. Mm. And that's a story for another day. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I have my moments where I watch you and I go, oh, I want to do that. But then I have to sit back. And honestly, your sister was amazing. Cheryl goes, yeah, well, he can do that. And then you can do what you do.
Right.
It's not everybody that goes to optometry school.
Right.
And it's not everybody that has a podcast. And it's not everybody. So even though I had my moment of, wow, I'll never be that. I can sit back and say, but I am who God made me to be.
Yeah. And I'll never be that pro. I'll never be the pro that wins the Ironman in Kona.
Rosinski.
Nope. I will never
going to
happen.
I think you're amazing, by the way.
Yeah. So it was the bike. I got through the bike. So you go to the transition, you do the bike. I was 95 miles in and
you give your bike off to somebody.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So we go right by the house, which was really cool. The house was right at the finish line of the
staying,
bike.
Is what he means.
Yeah. So you guys were all there cheering me on.
Grandma and grandpa are there.
Yeah,
we're all waving
and
taking pictures and cheering.
So I'm coming into the bike and as soon as you jump off your bike, there's somebody there. There's all these volunteers everywhere. So they grab my bike
and
he's like, all right, I got your bike. You're going there. I'm like, okay, you're taking my bike. Okay, whatever. Because I've never had that happen before. So he took my bike, and you start running down the thing, and you grab your bag. They call out your number again.
Another bag. We prepped the night before.
Here comes the run bag. So you go
into
the transition area.
Yep,
running shoes, my hat, my glasses, because I changed my glasses because it was a little... I changed my glasses because I wore sunglasses during the day.
Yeah, so this is an optometry office here.
Yeah.
So we will
tell you,
David had
two pairs of glasses for the day.
So
I had my sons for the day, and then I had the transitions for the run because I knew I was going to be running into the dark.
So lenses that change from light to dark, he had for the evening because as it got darker, they lightened up and it worked beautifully.
So I had my clear lenses at night.
Yeah. So now you change your shoes. You're still in the same outfit.
Well, it's funny. I was running in into the, I was I got off my bike in the transition area, and I'm trotting towards my run transition bag. And as I'm trotting, there's a older lady that comes up next to me, and she's kind of trotting with me. I actually caught up to her because I catch up to her. So it turns out she was on her 112th Ironman. She's 65 years old.
That's incredible.
And she's 65 years old. She's about to finish her 112th Ironman, and she's probably got 50 pounds on me.
Yeah, she was impressive.
And I'm just like, are you kidding me?
You needed inspiration, though, right then, too.
Yeah. And she goes, okay. She grabs her bag. She's like, all right. And I'm like, good luck. Have fun. She's like, go, Dave. You got this. You know, because as a first timer, she's like, she was more excited for me, I think, because it was my first time than she was for her being her 112th. Because she's like, whatever, this is old school. So she goes and she's like, all right, I'll see you at the end. I'm like, yeah, you're probably going to kill me on this thing. So go in, you change, get your stuff, get your nutrition as much as you can. You're packing it in. Got my number, got my belt, got my hat, and took off on the run. Started the run, 26.2 miles. So my goal was to run and then walk and then run and walk as much as possible. And I think I got through about 16 miles of running and walking. And then my body just totally gave out.
So should we tell them the story, though, as when I met up with you? And once again, you were, again, a whole day of this. This is insane.
But yeah, I'm, 14 hours in.
You're not feeling so good at that point. Yeah. You're a little nauseous, right?
Yeah. And that's what happened at mile 16.5. I was just like, I have nothing. There's no more running left in me. And
right.
I'm going, oh my gosh, I have 10 more miles and I have to walk 10 miles. I'm like, because you're just watching your watch. I'm like, I don't think I can walk 10 miles and still make the cutoff. And then, so I'm just kind of walking. I'm walking as fast as I can. I'm doing like a 15-30 pace walk, which is which is killing me because I'm like nauseous and just miserable. And finally, after about 2 miles of that, you know, you're just walking and people are passing you. You're passing them, and there's people going back on their second lap, and they're finishing the race. You know, and you're going, man, I can't believe I have to do this much further, and I'm seeing all these people. But finally, this guy catches up to me. His name's Dave. His buddy had gotten out at the bike and he was having like heart issues. So Yeah, he's a doctor and he ended up going to the hospital. So he's like, I just hope my buddy Jim's okay. Or I forget his name, Jim, whatever.
But you guys start talking.
So Dave and I, we walked. So he ended up staying with me. He's like, we got plenty of time. He had done like 8 Ironmans. So I was going, okay. He's like, yeah, I really killed it on the bike. I got 2 flats on the bike. And then I went really hard because I knew I was going to have a hard time with the cutoff. So I way exerted myself, so I can't run anymore. So I'm like, oh, so you're walking the rest of the time? and he goes, I'm probably walking the rest of the time. He's like, just stick with me. And I'm like, no problem. Because on the run, you're not drafting. You can walk and talk whatever you want.
Right.
So it then becomes kind of more like a...
So he had left you, I think, by the time I got to you.
Just
you,
right
you had
2.5 miles
left.
Because Anthony was kind of with me.
Right.
And he's like, I'm like, go ahead. And I'm waiting for my wife or whatever. And you're going to come talk to me. So
you guys will love this. Yeah. I found out from Allie. So the kids couldn't go with us because Allie had school.
Yeah.
So she's watching from home. And she told us that she'd been watching people on YouTube come through the finish line all day long.
Live, right?
Live. Yeah.
So YouTube was broadcasting.
I didn't even know until she told me right before I went to meet you.
Oh, okay.
So now I go to meet David at the 2.5 mile mark. And he's only got 2.5 miles left. And I walked with him the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And he looks at me and I said, how are you doing? He goes, I'm getting nauseous again. And I said, he goes, I think I might throw up. I said, no, you're not. You're going to be live on YouTube. You're not throwing up.
I said at the end, when I go through the end, if I have to run through the end, which I don't even know if I can run through the end, which you got to finish it running. You can't walk through.
And ring the bell for the first timers.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? I'll be okay. I tried to get some
you
more
did
stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah,
you were good.
Anthony gave me some more. I found
nutrition.
Some nutrition and the bananas and stuff, and you're just eating whatever you can, but your body doesn't even process it, which is that's the most important thing.
So tell us about the finish. How did that feel?
So yeah, you guys went ahead because I was walking.
Family,
so you guys
we
could
wanted
walk
to be
faster
there.
Than me. Yeah. So you guys went ahead and it was, you know, it's pitch black. It's 10:30 at night.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's 10:30 at night right now. And we started at 7 a.m. So I'm probably at the last half mile to go. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I've walked enough. I think I'm okay. My legs are not cramping too bad. I'm just going to try and jog as much as I can. And I ended up jogging, I think, the last half mile. And you come down along to the beach, you take the right into the little shopping area, and they've got the whole thing is just lined with people.
Yeah.
It's got the, what is it? The there's all those greats and there's people along the way and there's people videotaping and they're just screaming at you. And it's 10:30 at night, right? Yeah. I mean, they're just like, come on, you got it, you got it. And then you get to the bell, the first timer's bell, and the thing was broken. So they have a thing that's inside the big bell. You're supposed to ring the bell. But the guy's like, here, I got the thing.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm just like, oh, okay, what do I do with this? So I smacked the bell a couple times and my buddies were, Anthony was there, right?
Yeah, they're you were videotaping. I'm at the end with your parents.
Yeah,
and
so the bell's probably 100 yards off the finish line. So then I ended up running the rest of the way and made it across, and everybody was there.
That was incredible.
It was a long day. 15 hours and 36
life lessons.
Minutes.
Tell us about your 15 hours and 36 minutes of everything, life lessons.
Everything goes through your head.
Yeah.
Everything just over and over, and some new stuff every once in a while, and you're just like, you know what? This is cool. I can do this. I'm going to get it. It's just a matter of taking my time. And just going. You just keep on one foot in front of the other or one pedal in front of the other.
I think it's another example too, David, of how anybody can do what they've set their mind out to do with the proper practice, preparation.
Got to have support.
Support.
Yep.
You got to have coaches. Prayer. A lot of prayer.
A lot of prayer. That's for sure. And it's nerve-wracking the night before, the morning of. You know, you're walking over there at night. And I still look at the first one that I did in Chattanooga. I see those pictures of us walking over there in the morning. And I can see the look on my face in those pictures, walking to even that Chattanooga. And that was just a half Ironman. And I was like, this is insane. It's 4:30 in the morning. And I'm like, I'm going to die. And I just know the race is just getting started. And I was so nervous. And you just see those pictures. I see those pictures now. And I'm like, oh,
but
I don't
you just
look
push
at it.
Through it. Yeah. And that's what makes it happen. You got to push through. And I don't do that. Yeah. But the things I do, I know. I mean, the first time I got up to speak in front of a group of people, I told David, and I've not told many people. Now they'll all know, but I was in an elevator. It's 2009, right?
Yeah, I remember.
I was in an elevator with you and my dad was there in Washington, D.C. at the AOA. And I was getting ready to go do my very first lecture. It was 2 hours long. And then I had another one to do after that. And I remember being in the elevator and I was so scared that I still to this day say, if my dad and my husband had not been in the elevator with me, I think I would have gone to the bottom floor, gone out of the elevator and run. I would have never shown up. I was that terrified.
Yeah.
And
look what happened.
Yeah. You just don't know. And that's why the support of the people around you is so important.
Yeah.
But do not take away from the preparation, all the hard work you put into it and the planning, long term, short term, and the day of, what does that look like? And envision success. I think that one thing David and I kept talking about, you knew that a lot of it was in your head, a lot of the fear of swimming.
Right.
And so we kept saying over and over, see yourself and getting out of the water.
And the run too. You just don't know what to expect. You don't know the times. It's just such a long day. It's so hard to think forward and go, okay, I've got this transition, then I've got this transition, and then I've got to finish this thing. And you just can't put yourself in that because you don't know, especially if you've never done it. You just don't know. It's going to take me 6.5 hours to finish that bike ride. So what am I doing at at 4 hours in? And then it's going to take me another 6.5 to do the run. So what's going to happen at hour 4 or hour 5 and hour 6? You can't plan for that stuff. So you just have to get through it.
Well, we were all very, and still are, very proud of you, your family, all of us there to support you. Is there anything you want to say to folks as we close this out?
Just thank you for being there. And it was just amazing. I had such amazing time, my family and friends. Just, you can't say it enough. And you can't express your appreciation. So.
And all of you listening. I mean, David had people coming up to him everywhere we went around the country.
It was funny. And I was like, are you talking to me? And the guy's like, yeah, I'm talking to you. He's like, all right, how's your training going? I'm like, oh, it's going good. I'm like,
people, we don't even know. You guys were amazing and continue to be that.
Yeah.
And so we thank you. We hope you'll listen to the next one. We're going to tell you about our goals for 2025.
Oh, boy.
That's really important to us now that we keep you a part of that because you help us to make it happen. And it has... I'll tell you, our practice has grown. It was a great year for us. Mm-hmm. And I honestly attribute it to the people that listen to us, the people that support us, because you encourage us to continue to be strong in what we do.
Right.
So thank you. Absolutely. We want to do the same for you. We want to bring you up. We want to build you up. We want you to be inspired, educate in areas even that we don't know. Mm-hmm. But we will learn and we'll bring the guests on that will help you. So thank you all. We hope that you have a fabulous holiday. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah. We just wish the best for all of you.